Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone to our midweek prayer line. Let's get started with the Word of God. As I mentioned in my message earlier, we are going to continue on the topic that we had on Sunday about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On Sunday, the main theme was whether we are convinced that Jesus has risen. Because many times, if we are truly understanding the importance of the resurrection of Christ, we will be so much more passionate about doing things for God. And that was my main point of speaking about, even that it is tied up to our salvation. Because it is believing in Jesus resurrection as part of our salvation experience and process. If we don't trust in the resurrection, everything is gone. Our faith, it is like a cornerstone of our faith, which is the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what we have to trust and believe. And we have to be absolutely sure that we understand the gravity and we understand the importance of Jesus who has risen from the dead. For a few minutes, I want to go into a second phase of whatever I started on Sunday, and that is what this Wednesday Bible prayer time is for a deeper digging into God's word. For those who want to know more and understand more from God's word, it is a deeper understanding into what God can reveal through our lives. So today I'm going to be speaking about some implications of Christ's resurrection. I want to touch on different implications they are all very powerful implications when we understand about Christ's resurrection. In fact, I want to bring about 9 implications that I want us to think and ponder when we think about the resurrection of Jesus. So, as I said, the Christ's resurrection is the principle hub of the cornerstone of the Christian's faith, the faith in Christ, why Christ and who is Christ, even the fact that we distinguish Jesus Christ from everybody else, every other God, is because he rose up from the dead on the third day. That is the greatest distinguishing factor, that he proved himself that he was God who came on the earth, lived among us, and he had the power to rise up. And that is what Jesus even told, that I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to rise up. So the implication of Christ's resurrection is very, very important and crucial into our lives. So let me start with, as I told you, 9 implications. The first one is, I want to as to very briefly, I'm not going to go into very deep, because each of this can take one devotion every time, and I don't want to move forward on that because that's going to be pretty deep. But I know that we all have a fairly good understanding of God's word, so I will not make everybody to read every passage of the Bible. But I want to give a kind of a good understanding about the different implications that we can consider about Christ's resurrection. So the first one is that we need to consider the implications of the prophecies that happened regarding Christ to rise up from the dead. Now, when we talk about prophecies, Jesus revealed to his disciples either through parables or directly he spoke to his disciples the fact that he is going to rise up from the dead even before he was killed and buried many times. And we can understand that with a close reading of the Gospels, that Jesus had revealed the fact that he is going to rise up from the dead. One of the most important and beautiful examples that Jesus gave is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, where Jesus spoke about the prophet Jonah. And Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, Even so, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, signifying that he would be buried for that period of time. But just as Jonah was vomited by the fish to the shores of Nineveh, Christ rose up from the dead, and so he revealed to his disciples the fact that he also will be in the belly of the earth, but he will rise up. And that we can find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. For those of you who want to refer or take down references, you can do that as well, where he spoke about that. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Secondly, Jesus, in order to show a sign, he revealed about his resurrection to the Jews when he said in John's Gospel chapter 2, verses 18 to 21, where Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will restore it." Or in another version, we read like this in John chapter 2, verses 18 to 21, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And in verse number 21, Apostle John is clarifying what Jesus was actually speaking as the temple. He said he was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesus was saying about his body that you destroy this body, and in 3 days I will restore it, or I will raise it up. I mean, so he spoke about his resurrection. So, and also, this is not something that Jesus was hiding, but when we read the Gospels many times, he started speaking to his disciples that the fact that he is going to rise again. He predicts, starting from the revelation of the church, where Jesus did in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, he said that Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, he must suffer for many things, be killed, and raise the third day. He started speaking about that. He predicted about his death. Then we come to chapter 17 and verse number 22, where he said, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will rise up," or he will be raised up. That was the second time. And when we come down to Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 17 to 19, Jesus again speaks about the fact that he is going to be raised up on the third day. Jesus speaking to his 12 disciples this time. He takes them aside and tells them like this, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again." So again and again, Jesus revealed to his disciples through prophecy, and that is the number one, the implication that we see, the prophecies that were fulfilled exactly about Christ's resurrection. Let me tell you, as a added example for us, if every prophecy concerning Jesus' first coming has been fulfilled literally, I am telling you that his prophecy concerning his second coming will also be fulfilled literally. Don't take it that it won't happen. Whatever the Bible speaks about Jesus coming back through the rapture and on his second coming, and everything that has been revealed through prophecy in Revelation is going to happen. Whether we agree or not, it's all going to happen, and things are moving in that direction. So the first is the prophecy concerning Christ's resurrection. Number two, let us consider the implications of the early events that happened on the resurrection day, the day that Christ rose up. We know in Mark chapter 16 verse 1, that some women came with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And it shows that God is willing to use anyone who comes to him with an eager heart. So the woman came. They did not know how the stone is going to be removed. They spoke to themselves, who is going to remove the stone? But, you know, they came and they found the stone to be removed from the grave. And that was a reward for them for the faith that they showed, that God gave them the first sight of the empty tomb. And it was to the women. We need to understand, it was to the women who loved Jesus so much that they came early in the morning. But God revealed to them. God revealed so that they were the ones who were able to break the big news to other people. Luke chapter 24 and verses, and we read in verses 2 and 3 that they found the stone rolled away. They did not find the body. They found the empty tomb. So see, this woman who loved Jesus so much, they believed that he would overcome every obstacles, and he did. Even in his death, the obstacle of his death, Jesus removed. So think about the early events that happened. Number three, I want us to also understand, when we come to Matthew chapter 28, the implications of Christ's resurrection being announced by an angel. So the angel in Matthew 28, we see that the angel came down, and it is the angel who rolled away the stone to show that God's power easily takes away every problem when God is on our side. You know, no matter however big the stone is that comes against our need, the problems, any stone that is, because the women wanted to see Jesus, but the stone was preventing it. But God, you know, sent his angel down who rolled away the stone so that his power was displayed, and the problem was taken over. And so the angel knew that these women were the first ones who came, and so the angel came in aid of the women who came to look after, and they sought after Jesus. That is why the word of God says, you know, look at verse number 5, Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5. Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. They were looking for Jesus. The angel knew that. They were that God is able to do amazingly great thing for us. So when we seek after God's kingdom, he will take care of everything that we are looking for in our life. And that's how we see the angel coming and intervening on their behalf. Number three, let us come to this one particular individual. Could you please mute your phone? I can hear some background noise coming in. Thank you. So the angel considered one sister who had a greater love for Jesus than anybody else. John chapter 20. When we look there, we see that Mary Magdalene, look at her, the implications of the love that she showed towards Jesus. So we see in chapter 20 verses 12 onwards, Mary, or 11, Mary stood weeping at the tomb as she was looking down, and we see that there are two angels there. So you see the reward for her love, because she loved Jesus so much that God really was able to use her as basically the first person that they announced about the resurrection of Jesus. Mary was rewarded by her desire to be with the Lord. And more than that, how was she rewarded? Because she saw the ascended Jesus first before anybody else. She stayed back and Jesus appeared to her. It is said that Jesus appeared to Mary. The first person that Jesus, the resurrected Christ, appeared was to Mary Magdalene. And because of her, the love that she had for the Lord, Jesus reciprocated by making her the first evangelist who went and spread the good news to everyone. So the beauty is that when we love God, God will do amazing things for us. Number five is we need to consider the implications of the women who declared the resurrection. You see, the first eyewitnesses were not men, but women. In those days, we are not talking about the 21st century. We are talking about the first century where women's word was not held to any esteem in those days. But you see, the first announcement that God told the women to go and announce about, or the angel told the women to go and announce about the resurrection. God is not prejudiced. He is not against female or male, but he is for those who are passionate for him. Anyone who desires to worship him, anyone who desires passionately to love him, God uses them. In fact, God uses the weak to shame the wise people. And that is the beauty of that. And so when we are passionate, when we love, God will use us mightily in that case also. Now let's come to the implications of the chief purpose of the resurrection. So the resurrection basically completed the whole gospel of Christ, which included his death, his burial, and resurrection. And the resurrection was that which gave every believer the justification by faith, that Jesus bore the price for us, he took the punishment, he died, and then he rose up, becoming the first fruits of resurrection, that we also can rise up just like he rose up. And so what does this resurrection imply to us? That we will one day also rise up. We will have our own resurrection where our mortal bodies will be changed to a glorified body. Mortality will take on immortality. And our lowly bodies will change to a glorified body, because that is how God is going to reward us when we are trusting in the resurrection of Jesus. Next I want to give is number seven, is the implications of the great commission that Jesus gave after he rose up. So we fail to understand that many times, but it was after the resurrection of Christ that he gave some great commission to people. We see that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It was after his resurrection that Jesus said that you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. You know, it was, and what was the power that Jesus said? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What is that power that Jesus spoke about? The dynamo, the dunamis power. It was the power of his resurrection. Today, we have to take that same resurrection power and be witnesses of him wherever we are. It is after the resurrection of Christ that he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations or all people groups. Go and make disciples. So what the resurrection gives us the assurance is that the power of Christ is universal. It is no longer limited to the Jews in Israel, but it is for all the people all around the world. It said go to all the world. It did not say go to the borders of Israel and tell everybody. No, he said go to all the world and make disciples of everyone. And also we say that in Matthew 28, we read the whole Great Commission. It says teach everyone to obey my commandments, the commandments that I give you. Teach them to obey that. So this is something that we need to understand, is it's a part of what we need to do. Tell the people, make disciples, spread the word, spread the gospel, and make disciples, teach them to obey the commandments of Jesus, and also be a witness of what God has done. And that is one way, when we follow his path, that we are assured about his success. Number eight, it was after the resurrection, when we come to Acts chapter 1, we see that Christ ascended in bodily fashion to the heavens. In Acts chapter 1 verse 9, it says that as they watched, Jesus was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So look at the implications of Christ's ascension to heaven. It happened in the midst of many witnesses so that no one would doubt his claims. He did not do it secretly in the middle of the night. He did it in the presence of all the disciples. It says they were looking and he ascended bodily to heaven. Imagine the glorified body going up in the clouds and disappearing in the clouds. And they looked there. And so he ascended to the heavens, to the very presence of God. And he sat in the right hand of God the Father. And as Jesus said, I come from the Father, he returned back to the Father. And he's seated on the right hand of God the Father. And that is the beauty of the whole thing, is that one day Jesus said, if you see down below in that portion of Acts 1:12, he said, the same Jesus, in verse number 11, he says, the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in the same like manner as he went into heaven. So, just signifying how Jesus is going to return back one day. The ascension and the descension are all going to be on the same fashion. One day he's going to return. If he has gone to be with his Father, he's going to come back for his bride one day very soon. And so, finally, the ninth one I would say is that we need to consider the implications of his priesthood in heaven. You know, Christ is continually interceding for us today. As he is alive, we are not serving or worshiping a dead God. He is a God who is alive. He is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. And today he is our mediator. He is interceding for us before God. So when we trust in the power of resurrection, trust in the ability of Christ to do something for us, we know that he is on our side. He is pleading for us. He is the one who is standing on the gap and telling, please forgive him or please forgive her. Give him another chance. Give her one more chance. Let him not perish, but let him live, because there is a chance that you're going to be turning back. You know, he is our unchanging priest. He is our high priest who is making intercession. So when we come boldly before the throne of grace today, it says that we will find mercy and grace in our time of need. He is true, faithful, holy, in a world that does not offer us anything in return. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, as I'm closing up here, the resurrection of Jesus is paramount. It should be foundational in our belief when we accept the fact that Jesus lived here. There are indisputable proofs that he lived on this earth. There is indisputable proofs that he died and he rose up, and we can see all of that, and Jesus is going to come back. He can come back any day. We don't know when he's going to come back. The time is coming to, we are living in the last of the last times, in the middle of a time when Jesus coming is all revealed. We are in the end times today. We have to be living so faithfully for God. These are the days of Noah. These are the days of Lot. As you look around us, the wickedness is rising. We need to trust in the Christ who has risen. When we pray, and today as we are going into prayer right now, you know, every one of you, as you lead and you are praying, I want you to pray with faith. I want us to pray with faith, knowing that we have an intercessor. We have a God who is taking our prayer and who is mediating on our behalf. We have a Lord Jesus who is doing this for us, and we need to pray for that, and let us do that. Let us, for the brief time we have, about an hour time for prayer, please don't move around. I want you to sit beside and focus on what we are doing. We are praying because God is looking at each and every one of us. I would like all of you to participate, everyone to gather together. Let's all pray for the needs that we have, that God will do an amazing thing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful time, Father Lord. We thank you because you are a God who loves us so much that you died on the cross for us. But more than that, Father Lord, you have risen from the dead, Lord, and you have proved once and for all that you are a God who loves us and who cares about us. Thank you that you have shown your power through resurrection. And so today, Lord, as we are gathering before the throne of grace, we approach you knowing that, Lord, you are there to hear our prayers. You are there to answer us. Let us be like those women who who went even in the time, the darkness, oh Father, Lord, to look to Jesus. Lord, help us to be passionate in our prayers that we make today. I pray that you bless all of us, Father. Thank you for everything. We give you the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray.